And so, okay, that was interesting. And so when the opportunity came across my desk, okay, there's a big predictable gold system in Nevada that you can pick up for $250,000. Sign me up.
Michael Allen, what's going on? How are you?
Doing very well. Good to be back in Vancouver. Been a busy week. I was just done in Fort Lauderdale for a conference, and good to be back home.
Yeah, for all those listening and viewing, that's where I met you. I met you at this conference. You mentioned to me there in offline that it's treating you well and you like the exposure. That's fantastic. Let's talk specifically about you. We met down there, had some good conversations, but let's talk about how did this start? Well, let's talk with you and your background. How did you start this company? Where did that genesis come from? And where did you start breaking in this business?
Well, that's gosh, we only have 20 minutes. I mean, I, in simplest terms, I came up the technical links. I've got a geology degree and did all of the things that that a young geologist does. I've been all over the Arctic. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I was part of the team that drove underground into some of the new diamond mines, and they were going in. I worked for De Beers for a little while. But the focus was to eventually go corporate. The exploration geology, being in those remote camps, it's a fantastic experience if you're young. But as you get older, it's tougher. You want to have a family, you want to have kids. It's tough on a 6-2 rotation. So I had the goal of going corporate, and that coincided with a job that I got that took me down to Nevada, and I was hired as VPX, and that was my first sort of corporate title. And I was thinking about this transition now that you're starting to get into the more corporate roles, and I made a decision based on an article that I read, an interview with Rick Rule. Summary of the article was: management teams are jurisdiction specific. A guy needs to specialize. And there was another article I read that was Sean Rosen, and I make money driving back and forth between Timmins and Val-d'Or. I know everything, I know everybody, and I just pick off projects and make money. And so as a young man, I was driving between Vegas and Reno and trying to figure out where I wanted to spend the rest of my career. And I was like, you know what? This is not a bad place to be. So that was the decision. So I ultimately wound up specializing in that part of the world, and it's been good to me.
If I'm in Institute,
Go ahead.
I lived a year in Reno and I've made that drive many times.
Yeah,
It's lovely. If you don't come here, I like Reno a lot more, but yeah, it's lovely.
Generally, for whatever reason, the mining people, well, yeah, Reno's the closest city to the big mining complexes in Northern Nevada, so that's where you find a lot of the consultants and those sorts of things. So people are based there. Vegas is interesting just as a lark.
Thank you.
That's a whole other thing that we're not going to post on the internet, but of different adventures in Las Vegas. But what struck me about that part of the world, it's called the Wandering Lane, is the opportunity for discoveries and the opportunity that juniors can make. You can actually get large pieces of ground around a project in the Walker Lane versus Carlin Trend, Getchell Trend, Battle Mountain, the more established camps. The majors have got it all tenanted up, so a junior can't really make a move in there. And so that was, from a business analysis point of view, looked at that and said, okay, that's interesting. You can actually make a case. And then I've been lucky, or lucky, or making the most of my opportunities. That sort of is the same thing, but slightly different. I've done about $250 million worth of transactions in the Wandering Lane, buying and selling various projects. And so you know, I've gotten the reputation of being that a specialist. I know the regulators, I know the contractors. It sort of goes back to what Sean Rosen said, you know, everybody knows me, and then you can just sort of, you know what's good immediately when you see it. You say, okay, that's a good project. I'm willing to push in on it. Mm-hmm. You know, most notably, I did a deal a few years ago. It was called Northern Empire. And we identified a target, and we acquired an asset. It's called the Sterling property. And we bought it for $10 million, and 16 months later, we sold it for $120 million. The asset went straight up and gone. And it was a business decision. We could have held it longer, gotten more market cap, but the dollar per share number, which is the true, you know, the true measure, probably wouldn't have been much better. That project has subsequently been sold for a higher price than we got for it. 4 years later, we sold to Coeur Mining. Coeur sold it to AngloGold, and AngloGold is consolidating on a new discovery that they'd made in Nevada. There's a 13 million ounce discovery that's contiguous with my old property and looks like it bleeds onto it. They're consolidating the district. So, and that goes back to the hypothesis, new discoveries can be made in the Walker Lane, big ones. And it's something that we're working towards.
If you know what you're doing, if you have the right expertise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about this project here. Yeah. Work that out for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm naive. So tell me about it.
So on September 3rd, we announced an acquisition of what's called the Hercules project in Nevada. It's about an hour from Reno. If it's east of Carson City, if you've been to that part of the world, Dayton, that part.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting story because I owned the property in a past life. I started the company and we took it from nothing to about a $40 million US market cap and transacted on it. And the acquirer was after us for our cash, and they put it into one of their assets. Ultimately, that didn't work out particularly well, and I was able to get this asset back. The valuation on it when I sold it was $25 million American. I bought it back for $250,000 Canadian. So, you know, buy low, sell high, buy low.
Wow. And this was all, and you know, yes. And I want to make clear too, this is all in Strike Point Gold, correct?
Correct. This Hercules asset is now in Strike Point Gold.
Okay. And just so our listeners and viewers know, that is the current company, Strike Point Gold.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's impressive. Well done.
Yeah.
But you said you did a stock rollback. Why? And it's to just work that out a little better, but for me, because I typically get concerned about that word. Just for two.
The reason, so if you look at the history of Strike Point, Strike Point's been around for, I think it's 12 years. And I've been the CEO of the company for 2 years. So I inherited a share structure and it was getting vaguely Aussie. There was a gazillion shares issued in an outstanding. And when we got Hercules, it was sort of, you know, it's one of these transformational moments for the company. It's like, okay, now we've got a real flagship asset in Nevada. We're pivoting away from our old identity of a Northern explorer. We're going to be putting the refund to the company going forward. And it was just the right time. So we did a 10-for-1 consolidation.
Okay.
That took place, went into effect on October 18th. So, and what has been interesting is the stock has actually performed since then. So when we rolled it back, it should have traded at about 25 cents a share. Last time I looked at it, we were sitting at 35 cents a share. So the people are saying, okay, we've corked this thing up. You know, what shareholders are seeing. There's a lot more leverage in here. And so, you know, going forward, the value that's going to be created is going to be very impactful on that share price. For all that dilution.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the property again. I get what you bought and sold it for, but tell me about the assets in the ground there and what, or potential assets in the ground, and what are we looking at?
So Hercules is, again, forgive the geologist here, it's a low sulfidation epithermal system.
It doesn't know anything about, but go ahead.
Exactly. That's the type of system that it's in. And without getting too much into the details of it, why I went back was when we did the transaction, we had assays outstanding, and that was fine. Everybody took the risk. We didn't know what we were going to get. We were testing a new geological model when we did it. And after we did the transaction, the assays came back. And lo and behold, the new geological model worked. We took a big, what I'll call random number generator as far as an exploration play, and made it predictable. And so the way that you know, and that's the first step of creating ounces, resources. And so, okay, that was interesting. And so when the opportunity came across my desk, okay, there's a big predictable gold system in Nevada that you can pick up for $250,000. Sign me up.
Right.
The other things that sort of came in after we did the transaction were, we started to look a bit at the chemistry and what we were seeing in the rocks, and pause and reflect. One of the things that's interesting about Hercules versus a lot of the epithermal systems is it'll occasionally do visible gold. And okay, that's a great, great thing, but that's an indication that you're heading towards the bigger end of the spectrum.
I understand that. Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, you start to think about, it's 100 square kilometer land package. It's in the number one jurisdiction in the world, starting to head towards big. And it's started.
That's a lot of property. Not to interrupt you.
Yeah. And there's a couple of reasons why it's such a big property. And one of them is geology. The alteration system that we could observe on the ground was big. And so it's just like, okay, get as much of this as you can.
Yeah.
There's opportunity. The other part of it was the property is big because you need, mining is area intensive. And so you need places to put stuff, whether it's, heat leach pads, waste rock piles, those sorts of things. Yep. And then the more business side of it is, if you're going to get big sponsorship, a senior player to come in and take you out, they want something that's big. Like, Barrick talks about tier one deposits. Well, what's a tier one deposit? 500,000 ounces a year. You need that scale. And so you look at a project and you say, okay, this thing is interesting. Can it start to satisfy the business aspect of it? Take the geology and go, okay, the geology is cool, but can it make the business case?
Yeah. No, I get it.
And so for Hercules, we've now got the big project, which can attract big people. The other thing, and it sort of goes back to my experience in Nevada, there is what I'll call the big plummet. And in drilling in the U.S., there's two types of permits: plan of operations, which is the big one, and notices. The notices are small permits. They take about a month to get. They allow you to do 5 acres of disturbance. Okay, that's fine. You can go and get one. And you see a lot of juniors will do that. They'll get it, and then they'll drill some holes, and then they go quiet while they're getting their big plummet. Hercules has the big permit, and that's a 2-year effort, and it's generally costs about $1 million. So
you have the big permit.
Yeah. So as you think about,
that's very impressive, actually.
Yeah. And
well done.
You go back to the business case of where this is and the Lassonde curve, and most companies working in the US, they'll make that discovery, they'll burn up their small permit.
Yep.
And then they go quiet, and that's the death of a junior. This, for a shareholder coming in today, they're going to get the re-rate on discovery and can move quickly into delineation. That news flow and the growth up the Lassonde curve is going to be relatively smooth.
Got it. Okay. So let me, if you don't mind, I have a good idea now, a good enough idea for myself as an investor of what you got and wanting to do more due diligence. I get it.
Yeah.
My next question is here. I want to know as an investor, how many, what's your, you just had a rollback, but what, how many shares you got outstanding right now?
So 26.4 million is the short answer there.
26.4 million.
Yeah.
Wow. Well done.
Yeah. So yeah. It was, there are warrants. I think I believe
that's where one in the index, where are the warrants at?
2.7 million warrants. The strike price for them is 70 cents.
So we've 70 cents. When do they expire?
Be March, 2026, pardon me. Sorry.
So in 3 years, well, 18 months, right?
18 months. Yeah. They were two year warrants and we issued them in March of this year. So 2026.
Okay. So I'm thinking of those are still quite a bit out of the money. And I'm just thinking of like, you still got a ways to run before you get there. So that doesn't really
do it. The double before we hit that wall.
Yeah.
And so for somebody coming in, you know, there's quite a bit of runway as we unlock the value there.
Exactly. So that's what I'm thinking. So you got a good upside before the warrants. And they, for all the listeners, and if you're new at this, you haven't done this, I am very aware. And when I analyze a company for myself in my own book, I want to know share structure and where the warrants at. Because a lot of times, and this is me talking, Michael, this is me talking to the audience here. You'll get a hedge fund or somebody go in there and short the hell out of the stock at where the warrants are written because they got a free position. So if you got either warrants that are deep in the money, that's a very positive thing. If you don't have any warrants, that's amazing, but that's good luck. Or if they're out of the money, you got a good runway, as you put it. So yes. Okay. So now here's my next question. How much money do you have in the bank? And tell me about that and tell me about financing moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, we are, so on June 30th, we had 1.4 million Canadian in the bank. It's less than that. We've had to pay our claim fees. But that's the last reported numbers. And then in terms of financing, there is, you know, we're going to have to raise money to go out and drill Hercules. That's the simple answer there.
So let me put this in another way, and I'm saying this for the viewer's benefit. Yes, there's no problem raising money. You have to raise money. We're literally dealing with startups in the natural resource space. So think of it as a tech. You're always constantly doing a money raise. What you want to see is that it's going towards something very productive. So going back to you, Michael, you're in a money raise, and I'll just tell them, talking to you, we can cut this out if we have to, but you're in a money raise right now, correct?
Correct. We are live on a financing. It is a Canadian dollar terms. It's a 20 cent unit with a full warrant at 30 cents and an accelerator at 40.
That's actually what we're
hiding at 35 cents.
Yeah, it's very attractive.
It is very attractive.
Yeah. Okay. Do I need to cut that out?
I don't think so. I mean, it's very true.
So let's roll. Interesting. It might be changing some things.
I mean, in terms of the financing, we structured it to be attractive. And so when we did the financing, it was pre-consolidation. And so we did a pretty steep discount. We were trading at about 2.5 cents or 25 cents. And so we discounted it down to 20, put the full warrant on, and then put an accelerator on. And so we, you know, it's that overhang that we've created can be blown away. We have success. You push on it, you know, start to market the company, 10 days forced exercise of those warrants. And that brings in a bunch more dough into the company.
Okay. Got it. Lastly, and this is, you probably can't comment on this, but I will, if it's okay with you. It depends on what happens with Hercules, but this is a high probability takeover, something if you hit big. My question is, what's the ETA, assuming you don't get taken out from buyout?
Yeah.
What the ETA of production going into production? Probably 5 years at the most. I mean, at the least.
Oh no. I would say 5 years at the minimum.
So you're going to fast track this in production in 5 years?
No, at the minimum.
At the that's what I mean. I'm sorry, my tongue. That's a word salad. Yes, minimum 5 years. So what's a range? 5 to what years going into production?
Five. I would say a more realistic thing would be 10.
Right.
So, you know, here's a timeline. So we start drilling in 2025 and we have exploration success. We go raise some money and we start stepping into delineation. That process, for the sake of the argument, takes 2 years. So we're into 2027. Resource estimate, PEA, metallurgy, all those things, then there'll be a time to go back for more drilling, another couple of years. At the end of that, everything comes together fine on the study side. You go into big boy permitting. It's called an EIS. That's a 3-year process.
Yes, feeding.
If we came out in 2027, everything goes exactly right. We've got all of our ducks in a row. We've got a feasibility level study, which is a big ask. Then we go into 3 years worth of permitting. Knowing what I know about Nevada, the baseline studies get started. The plan of operations permit that we've got is the baseline, you know, that biological survey and archaeological stuff baseline that we did for the plan of operation feeds into the EIS. So you always, for me, I'm looking ahead to those future problems and trying to stream it out as best I can. But the EIS process is a minimum of 3 years. So if we were extremely lucky and had everything ready to go in 2, we'd hit that 5-year window. But more realistically, you're looking at probably 5 to 10 where we would have our permit then going into production. The interesting things, well, and that's just the reality of that's yeah. That is how the mining works.
Yeah, no, that I'm glad you laid that out. And again, I worded that wrongly when I asked. But this is for the viewers. You're looking at my experience, and it depends on the jurisdiction in Nevada. By just about everyone is rated number one jurisdiction in the world.
It goes back to the business case of when I was, you know, making a focus. It's like Sierra Leone, no, Nevada.
So that also is not only with assets in the ground, it also has to do with just friendly and getting things done. But my experience, and by no means, there's a lot of people that have a lot more experience than me do, but my experience is you're looking at their minimum 5 years. That's if everything goes right, which never happens. So I think you have to have a window really realistically of 7 years, if not 10 years. 7 to 10 years, a lot more realistic. Also, again, I'm talking to the viewers, is you want to evaluate this, or how I would evaluate Strike Point Gold is it really depends. The early investors are going to be greatly rewarded with the share structure, but it's really dependent on hitting. And hitting, you have the scale there. You have the scale there if you hit. And that's, I'll be candid with you. I don't know Hercules. I don't know Barry. That's you. So,
and I mean, you know, there is, you know, you're not me. I mean, I'm a geologist, and so I can evaluate properties and I think about these things. You're probably best to find, you know, to just look at it and forget the horse. Look at the, you know, the accent.
Look at the jockey.
Look at the jockey. And you look at a guy like me, and okay, I'm relatively young, but I've done this before.
Yeah.
You know, I've been able to say, that's a good asset. I'm going to grab that fucking thing and make a win for shareholders. Don't be greedy. And just get out the door.
No, that goes back to, and I'm interrupting you, that goes back to, yes, you bet on the jockey, absolutely, on this one. And somebody that's done this a lot, and also some, but in that area, and then knows the area very well. But also for me talking to the listeners and viewers, I do not mind use. I actually like the energy. And usually what I've found, and I also like experience, don't get me wrong, but I've had more, I don't want to say trouble, but I get like usually guys that are in their later start stages of their career, this is becomes a lifestyle company.
And you do see that. And I mean, what the way that I've actually structured this is there's in the company and the sphere of people that we use, you know, consultants and lawyers, CFOs, the team, the geologists, I'm about the middle ground. Mm-hmm. There's people that are younger than me, you know, so the kid geologist isn't necessarily the right term, but younger geologists, and they're moving their way up the field. They're learning the things that I did when I was younger. There's also more senior people. You know, my attorney is a wonderful person, but he's 15 years older than I do have a couple of senior geologists that are actually very fun to work with. One of them, and I'll show to the name here, is because it's a fantastic name for a geologist. It's Ron Kickbush, and Ron is in his mid-60s. And he's, you know, very active, very fit, but he's seen a lot. And so, and oddly enough, Ron drilled on Hercules back in the 80s, always liked him. So when I got involved with him, he's like, yeah, this is a great thing. I was out here in the 80s, and there's opportunity here, there's opportunity there, there's opportunity there. And it's like, okay, let's do this. But it helps having that history when you're evaluating the project, because if something comes across my desk and, okay, it's a project that I haven't heard of, hey, Ron, what do you think of, oh God, that thing, you know, or no, that one's interesting. But yeah, you make a team to make a business and go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael, Strike Point Gold. Can you give me your website and your ticker for those that are interested?
Obviously, Strike Point, www.strikepointgold.com is the website. On the Canadian side, the ticker is SKP. We trade on the venture. On the OTC, our ticker is STXF.
Excellent. Got it. All right, Michael. Michael did not pay for this interview, just so everybody knows. Also, I am not, as of this recording, an investor, just so everybody knows. So, Michael, I want to thank you so much for your time. I will say that looks very attractive from an asset point of view, as well as a share structural point of view. That looks very attractive. Thank you very much. You bet.